inelegantly, Peter.
Well, that's the danger of moving outside of Brussels. I'm now on a mission for the European Commission, and on missions you get a lot of surprises and unexpected experiences. And I had one this morning already. I had no idea we had a European car park in the ward. and I did not know either that I was going into a discussion of who the greatest living Briton is at this time. I would have thought that Stephen Hawking would come high on the list, but who am I to say? When we were preparing for this event, I was told that I was supposed to say something positive and something nice about Cornwall and Cornish and Highland City programme. And given that opportunity, I felt a little bit like the proverbial mosquito in the nudist camp. I know what I want to do, but I have no idea where to start. Because the Cornwall and City Isles programme, the current programme, is in all respects performing extremely well. It is a programme that has, at this point in time, fully committed its resources. Everything has been carried out as planned, and in many areas to an extent which goes far beyond what was planned at the beginning. A few statistics from the programme will explain what I mean. To date, over 120,000 participants have started ESF provision and participated in programmes during our programming period, which runs from 2007 to 2013. And this exceeds the total that was foreseen in the programme, the target, which was 75,000 people. A major success and a major demonstration of the quality of the programming undertaken. The total in work on leaving from the different activities of the program figures have been exceeded in absolute terms, and this is already before the programming period ends. The number of NEET participants are more than double the target at the beginning of the period, and NEET learner aim targets have been achieved in more than 90% of all the cases. Basic skills attainment is at over 80% of the target figures, and level 2 and 3 targets have been exceeded both in terms of participants and in terms of the qualifications level obtained. I could continue with a number of statistics of the present programme, but suffice it to say that this is really one of the best performing operational programmes that we have in the European Union. Just before this ceremony started, I was asked to say a few words about the Cornish programme and how it compared to programmes elsewhere in the European Union. We use Cornwall as one of the good examples on how things can be done. We refer to the programme and to some of the methods implied by the programme when we try to help other managing authorities and other beneficiaries to get the same kick for the buck as we see here in Cornwall. We also think that the way in which the money has been allocated, the way in which the services that have been supported by the programme have been planned, is second to none. To date, we have a programme execution rate which is among the best in the European Union, and we foresee absolutely no problems in closing and winding up the programme when it comes to that in a couple of years' time. Now, this is something that cannot be said, unfortunately, for the structural funds as a whole for the European Union. And for the European Social Fund, we are facing quite difficult financial conditions ahead of us. Let me give you two of the current issues that we are fighting with. The first one is that the European budget, as I'm sure you already know, is under tremendous pressure these years. Not just for the coming programming period, where the battle, I'm afraid to say, is not quite over, and that is the reason why I cannot say today how much resources will be going towards our activities in the next 7 years, but also because there has been a link made by the European Parliament between the future budget, the so-called multi-annual financial perspective or framework, and the current programming period, meaning the current year's program in terms of available payments. And the social fund is suffering heavily from this situation. As you know, we plan ahead by giving commitments to do things over a period of time, over the programming period of 7 years. This we have done in good faith and based on the decisions taken at the highest level of the European Union. But one thing is making promises. The other, and much more difficult, is the follow-up to the promises you made by actually paying for what you have promised. And the European Social Fund this year is going to suffer a severe shortage of payment credits. This is not new, because it has happened every year for the last 3 years. The problem is that we are running out of money earlier and earlier in the year, and therefore building up a snowball that becomes bigger year by year. And this year it is really bad. We are carrying over almost 3 billion euros of unpaid bills from last year, and we've only just last month managed to pay the last of this overhang from the previous year. We are currently under cash flow restrictions, meaning that we cannot fully respect the 60-day normal deadline for payments. Once we get the bill, we must pay within 60 days, and that is becoming increasingly difficult. The real problem, though, is that because the European Social Fund started this programming period a little bit late and slowly, and I think the same thing is going to happen for the next programming period, member states are now building up. They have reached cruising speed, and they are building up their activities to catch up for the time lost at the beginning of the period. Meaning, of course, that we get ever-increasing payment requests presented to us month by month. The sum total of this is that the European Social Fund is running out of money this year, probably around summer. And this puts a severe strain on all the operations that are ongoing and that need continuous supplies of liquidity in order to be able to continue running smoothly. This is a problem that we are going to have to face. Next year is going to be slightly worse, because next year is the first year of the new programming period, and that in itself requires fresh advance payments to be made on top of the payments that we will have to make on a current basis. Which elegantly brings me to the future of the European Structural Funds and the future of the European Social Fund in Cornwall. As is known now, the Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly will continue to benefit from the status of less developed regions, and therefore will be able to continue the type of programming that we have seen in the present programming period. Right now, the discussion internally in the United Kingdom about how the distribution of money is going to take place, and indeed how much money there will be at the end of the day to distribute, is going on, and I shall not comment on that. But I will comment on two very important features of the next programming period, which will be of importance to the Southwest. First of all, you must understand the importance of the decision taken that the structural and investment funds from the European Union are closely and intimately related to the overall policy aims of the so-called Europe 2020 strategy. That is sustainable growth, that is intelligent growth, it is job-friendly growth, it is innovative growth, and you are in a very strong position to make best use of that in Cornwall. Because the Cornish programme corresponds very well to these priorities. So my advice, and there are no journalists present and we're just among ourselves, please continue to do what you're doing in the present programming period. That is one of the things that will really receive support from the European level. And it also means do not diversify into all sorts of interesting, as they may be, areas which are not directly related to the Europe 2020 strategy. There has to be concentration. There has to be clear and measurable targets set in a limited number of areas. If you do that, it is much easier to ask for money and to argue that you are putting your money where your speech is. Thematic concentration also means that we cannot have the luxury of doing a little with one fund in one area, completely disconnected from whatever we do with other funds in other areas. In the present programming period, we have had all operations done through so-called mono-fund programs, meaning that one structural or investment fund supported the operational program, and that any overlap between what we were doing with the European Social Fund and what our regional friends in the European Regional Development Fund were doing never ever came together and never ever overlapped. In the new programming period, we are opening the possibility of combining funds so that one operational program can receive support from more than one of the structural and investment funds. This may sound as a complication, and believe you me, for the European Commission services, it is a huge complication in matters, but for the operators, for those who have to implement, those who have to carry through investment projects, this may represent a major improvement in getting the possibilities of doing several things within your operational program priorities. So this is something that I must recommend you to look at openly and see, is there something in this possibility that can be exploited in Cornwall? I know that there is, of course, the possibility of the so-called cross-financing between areas normally covered by the European Social Fund and areas such as investment in equipment or machinery or the like to support the training or education action undertaken, that there is this possibility of cross-financing so that with ESF money you can actually buy some equipment, machinery, if it is necessary for the project to be carried out. This opportunity will also exist in the future, but it is supplemented or complemented by the bigger opportunity of having multi-fund programs. Now, we have already discussed or begun discussions with Britain about the priorities, the targets, the objectives that should be guiding the UK operational programmes. The European Commission position paper encourages the United Kingdom to concentrate on three key thematic objectives, which are promoting employment and supporting labour mobility, investing in education skills and lifelong learning. I believe this is one of the key priorities for Cornwall, and promoting social inclusion and combating poverty. We believe that the Cornish programme is well placed as the basis and the inspiration for future programming, especially since we have seen the effects that the programme can have on the issues at hand. Right now, it is very difficult to say exactly how things will pan out and the dates on which all of this is going to happen. The idea, the current idea is to have a preliminary draft of the so-called partnership agreement presented in late spring. End of May, beginning of June is the current target date, which we're informed about in London a week ago. This will be followed by still informal consultations and talks between Commission Services and the UK government, hopefully leading to the adoption of a partnership agreement which can be formally presented to the European Commission when we have our legislation in place. And that begs the question, when is that going to happen? Well, nobody really knows. But we right now expect this to happen in October. In October, it is now planned that there will be a very short period between the formal adoption and the entry into force of the new regulations. Unfortunately, a period that is so short that it would be very difficult for us to get our computer systems up and running in time for receiving all the new programs, but we will do our utmost to make that happen. We will have formal submission of the partnership agreements and the first operational programs, hopefully before the end of the year. There are people who still think it would be possible to have partnership agreements adopted and approved by the Commission before the end of the year. I would guess that that would be the case for some, but certainly not for all, and that we will have operational programs, in fact, being implemented from, say, early spring of next year. All of this depends, of course, on a successful conclusion of the negotiations on the budget and on the successful the conclusion of the negotiations on the structural funds. But all in all, I believe that Cornwall is very well equipped to participate in this process. I think your programming experience is a very solid starting point for the next programming period, and I wish you all the best of luck with it.